Yeah, I thought last week we only talked about giving the Imagination Center or Emergent Life a pass. I wasn't say for you to detail everything out. Can I, if I say to you that Miss M bought her car new in 2012, didn't I give it a pass? What the hell else do you need to know? Can't you all concept something without going into every little detail? And then when you went into detail, you almost always went into present tense or faked it. Here's the question. Isn't everything in the present past tense? Anybody want to? Anything that exists is past, isn't it?
Yes.
So everything exists only in the past. So anything that we talk about that exists, no matter what you're doing, it's in the past. This living in the present is a lot of hogwash, crap shit. You only live in the past. And everything that exists with you exists in the past as well. Is that really too difficult to understand? So if you give something a past, it doesn't exist, does it?
What? If you give it a past, it doesn't exist?
Can you give it a prior past, then it doesn't exist? It's before it exists. If you're talking about anything that exists, you're always talking about its past.
Mm-hmm. So you can give it a prior past before it existed?
Can you not?
But what does that do?
To set your home in motion, would that be an example of a prior past?
Would what be an example of a prior past?
To preset your emotions. Or should I just...
I see what you mean. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay.
But anything, if it does exist, then it's in the past. Past is a terrible, confusing word. Because it means one thing to me and means something entirely different to you. Then it means something different to me in a different context. So, living in the present, does anybody here remember... Mother Earth story?
Yeah.
That was recent.
What was the biggest problem with Mother Earth story?
It was all about what somebody wanted in the future.
No, the question was, choose now. And when you live in the now, in that regard, then you only have the now to deal from, choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So this living in the now is a lot of crap. You live only in the past, and you have a past to work with. If you live in the now and don't have a past, you have nothing to work with. The only thing, so that nobody could make a choice because they had no past to work with in making a decision right now what you want.
So, Roger, learning, growing, developing has no place in time. It's not now. It's all future based, and it's not past. Right?
Well, your focus is in the future.
Yeah. And so...
But you got to give yourself a past in order to have anything to work with. So all I wanted was a concept. Can you give yourself a concept of the imagination center? A past concept without detailing it. That's all I was asking.
So would the concept include a description of a physical structure?
A concept wouldn't necessarily concern any details at all.
Okay.
For instance, if I say Miss M bought her car brand new in 2012, doesn't that give the car a pass?
Yeah, you know it got built round about 2012, and it's
But I don't tell you. I don't have to tell you anything about the car.
No.
And anything you know about the car doesn't help you. It doesn't give you a past.
Well, hang on. Can I say something here?
Yeah.
I agree with that. I agree with what you're saying. Up to the point of my recollection of last week was we were all really struggling with this idea of a mission statement.
I wasn't.
I wasn't. And the suggestion, that's fine, but still, the suggestion was, since we were all trying to come up with a mission statement,
Can't you give me a mission statement in any case without getting into the details of the center?
Well, yeah, maybe that's true. But the point is still, we were trying to come up with a mission statement, and the suggestion from you, I believe, was that... at least I took from you, was that if we're trying to do future focus, we don't know how to get there. So give yourself a past. Give the Imagination Center a past. Take a look at that. And that's what
okay.
I thought we were doing.
But then you gave me every damn detail, but you spoke of the details in present form.
I personally made every effort to speak of it past form, so that's really interesting to know.
But even in that, you're talking about it as if it presently existed.
Mm. Yeah, I understand. There was definitely moments where I thought I was doing that, and I wasn't sure.
I was also trying to write everything in past tense.
You write it in past tense. As to this is what was, and in that way you do it, the way you said it, you're saying this is the way it is then.
Okay.
Because
it is and will be in the future.
Well, it could be anything in the future. You don't go.
Yeah, but I mean the way it was written. I think that. Simone and mine and Andrew's, I too tried to build in past tense, but it also came across as that's what is done and will continue to be done.
That is implied, yes.
Yeah.
That's the way the center works.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you essentially, even using past tense words, you're talking about it in present tense, because that's the way it does work. It worked then, and that's the way it is now.
Hmm.
What are you eating in that bag?
Chicken.
Chicken.
You want some?
The concept you're talking about, Roger, or the concept of a concept, is independent of time.
Is what?
Is independent of time, is it not?
Depends on how you state the concept. In other words, couldn't you give the Imagination Center a pass by merely saying it existed in ancient Egypt and was forgotten for centuries?
You could do that, yeah. My question is, I was going for something more to understand, like, or, as you say, to borrow your word, to concept the... instead of, say, a mission statement, to concept Imagination Center.
But I don't care about a mission statement. I think they're horrible.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't pick that up last week. Okay.
What would you prefer instead?
Why would you want a mission center? A mission statement.
To organize the intention of what the center is operating under. The communal intention.
Isn't it different for everybody?
Yes and no. I think that the way and the manner that everybody's going to engage with it is going to be different, but the actual concept of the center does not have to be different. But how everyone plays it out, very much.
Then that's the mission. How it's organized is not a mission. That's an organizational.
Right.
But the mission center, the mission statement is different for every person. Mm-hmm. Every person should get out of it what they want and put into it what they want.
Okay.
So that's what I was asking for the last 3 weeks. What do you want?
So there's a concept statement, and then each person has individual mission statements. Is that correct?
You have a mission statement even for the people who are going to the center.
Uh-huh. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
I think the mission statement is something like a point of reference.
Is what?
For the center.
Something like a point of reference.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but doesn't it limit you?
No.
I think it does.
Okay. How so?
Well, because then you've set up what you're offering and the way you're offering it.
All right. Does it hinder you to expand or to be different?
Yes.
Because it locks you into something.
A certain way of doing or presenting or being.
Okay.
Now, if that's only what you want to do, that's fine. See, then we've arrived at a, like I said before, Forever Living gives you the tools for you to do whatever you want with those tools. It doesn't tell you what you should do with them and how you should be with them. It seems to me that the center's got to do much the same thing. But then, that's my crazy idea. So we're only providing tools for each person to create the whatever mission they want out of it. The center then has no mission. I know you can't think in terms of that. Well, anyway, enough of that said.
No, actually, that was it's very important, Roger. And I think that most, if not all of us, misunderstood what you were asking for.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Now that we're talking about it, I can see then that the that concept, coming up with a conceptual statement, does in fact give the emergent life care, life center history, or a history that it rests on. Wow.
But no one has said what they wanted the center to do. They just designed a center or a past. What do you want it to do? Without giving me a mission statement.
It's a place to assist others in finding their own mission. And it can be virtual or physical.
What's the difference?
She means face-to-face versus, like, somebody doing it on the computer.
If she means something, she can tell me.
She's interpreting.
You know, it's her birthday today, right?
I want to know. People throw out that damn virtual word all the time.
Okay. What I mean by that is the center can either be, say here, say Jennifer goes down and she buys the brick and mortar place in the warehouse place here in near Dr. The skin doctor's office. And there's a physical location. To answer your question just a little bit ahead, there really isn't that much difference, actually. But there is. So what I mean by physical, I'm talking more brick and mortar. And what I mean by virtual is that we can do stuff on the internet. You had some really good ideas.
How do you interact?
How do I interact?
Yeah.
It depends on the medium of which I am working. So if it was a physical location, I might be face-to-face with people having a meeting.
I mean,
talking.
A virtual. How do you interact?
Oh, you can interact on chats. You can interact on the kind of software where you can have these meetings where you're looking at the person, like on Skype.
You're not interacting.
You know, there
you
is.
You think it's an interaction, but it's not an interaction.
Explain what you mean, please.
You see me, a picture of me talking to you. So I'm talking to you, and you're listening to me. We're not interacting in Skype.
So are you saying that you need to be physically in front of another person to interact?
Well, I think you're putting virtual too much emphasis on it. I say, in my opinion, and Ken can kibosh it all you want, that there's no real experience in virtual.
Do you agree with them, Ken?
Well, first I'd like to say that a Skype is a video telephone call. So
that's,
I think,
all.
If the person is present at the other end, it's different than if you're just interacting with a database full of information.
Okay.
But even if there's somebody there, it's still alternating one-sided things going on.
Well, isn't that true right now?
No.
Explain.
On Skype, you're only seeing what the camera will allow you to see. And I can see lots of things regardless of the camera.
What do you see?
So you're talking about the quality of the interaction.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not even it's not even an interaction.
Is this an interaction? The black box.
No, that's what kills me.
Oh, God. Uh-oh, should I have not brought this up tonight?
That's
sorry,
obviously
everybody.
Not an interaction.
Yeah.
It's his way for then when I can finally break in, I get to say my piece. When he can break in, he can say his piece. There's no interaction.
So
even if I add Skype to it, there's still no interaction.
Well, Skype is different than a online conference interaction with video, because you can see when somebody's talking and you can see every one of the people that are on the call, every single one. So it is different than you've experienced. Is it as good as being in person? No.
I
say the no is the fact that it's the information I need for an interaction doesn't exist on Skype. All you got there is video.
And audio.
What else are you getting?
I'm getting an awareness of you. That's important to me, other than just a view of you.
He can feel you. I don't know if you understand.
No, that's what I'm asking.
Because
I get to feel you up every Monday.
if you really open up yourself, you can feel every person in the room, and you can feel what you guys call energy, good energy, bad energy.
But you can't feel that over Skype.
You can't feel that over a phone call.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that, to me, is too important.
So the human interaction.
Huh?
The human interaction.
That's part of the interaction, yes. Okay. Without it, there is no interaction. It's me do, you do, me do, you do. And we get a picture of that.
Isn't there entanglement still happening that you know about?
That's an entanglement that doesn't count.
Why?
Because you can't experience it. You can't experience the entanglement. What Ms. M is talking about is the important part of the entanglement. And it's missing on Skype. It's missing on any virtual. You think it's not, but
the
it is.
Part. Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't preclude you doing that concurrent with Skyping.
What? I'm asking...
You're saying that...
I'm just asking you whether virtual or Skyping is sufficient for anybody. You all seem to love this technology. I hate it.
Obviously.
Yeah, using Steiner hated it too. What else Steiner hated anyway?
So what you're saying is that in order to feel somebody, you have to be within a certain physical distance.
Mm-hmm.
So that at some point, if you started walking out of this room, you would lose contact.
Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to find out what Denise was talking about. Seems like virtue is okay with everybody. In other words, don't really understand another person. If you see them and you hear them, that's good enough.
Well, I think what you're talking about is a whole other dimension of interacting.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And
do we want virtual?
I think that you can still have that with virtual. I feel like I can, you know, imagine, meditate, whatever.
But then all you're imagining is only what you're imagining.
And you don't think I'm officially connecting with another person when I'm doing that?
No.
I have to be within their realm to do it?
Yes.
Well, what about quantum physics where space and time has nothing to do with each other? When something happens over here, it happens over there. Space and time has no issue whatsoever.
Do I have anything to do with understanding what you're saying?
He's talking about the spooky theory, but the two particles have had to be together at one point.
Uh-huh.
And the people that we're going to be dealing with virtually,
we've never been together. There's never been any entanglement.
Well,
in virtual.
Okay, well, let's back up a second. Roger knows everybody on the black box.
True.
So it's still an issue for him. So
the problem with the black box is only one person.
I can't even interrupt.
That's his biggest frustration, is because if somebody is talking and doesn't take a breath,
I can't get in and stop you from talking.
Down a wrong road.
And all virtual is that way. That there's nothing I can do about it. You've got the floor until you get through talking.
Actually, not all virtual is that way. This black box is that way.
Yeah, not all virtual
is
that way.
But not all virtual is that way. In other words, people can talk over each other on a virtual just like you can in a conversation.
Or just like on a phone.
But still, you're missing the... Okay, I... Still, only asked, what did she mean by virtual?
Well, hang on a second. I just had a real practical addition to this. As I think about it, I don't know anybody who's ever met anybody sort of famous, somebody you see like on TV all the time. Like a number of years ago, I met James Earl Jones.
Well, how do you do massage therapy virtually?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a very good imagination.
It's not the same quality.
Yeah.
I'm ready for anybody to give me an answer to that one.
That's one of those you can't.
It wouldn't be the hands-on part, but all the other part she does other than the hands-on, right? Isn't there...
Anything but the hands-on.
I'm with Ken on the physics.
I don't think
physics.
Massage therapy matters if there's no hands-on.
Huh?
Isn't there another component to your massage that is verbal?
Yeah.
What are you looking at me and smiling about?
I agreed. And I guess I was waiting for you to say, well, elaborate on it or something. I don't know. But I can see how the connection is more so than the words and the past and whatever we think is past, present, whatever. It's like when you're going through life and you're riding the bike, it's just this kind of flowy thing. And it seems that would be similar too with the interaction with one another, is there's kind of this flowy thing that kind of happens that, oh God, I can't quite explain this. Only articulation.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to do something virtual, instead of throwing the word out there.
Yes.
Talk to me very specifically. How are you going to do that? What were the limitations? What are the difficulties?
Okay, well, you brought a good point up with the limitation of having that actual in-person interaction. Okay, that's a big limitation right there. You're right. You know, and with the massage, yeah, it's hard to massage someone physically when you're not right there, but I do believe there's ways to do it in the imaginal. But virtually, I think that there's a lot of really good pieces that can assist people along the way to finding their own mission statement and their own thing. This is how people function right now in this day and age,
maybe
in a lot of our society.
Maybe that's the problem we've got in the first place, is we all function that way.
Sometimes you got to meet people where they're at, you know, and this is a language and this is a channel that you can bring a lot of information in from all different areas. So I think there's value to the virtual, but you're right.
I didn't
right.
say
there's...
it didn't have any value, but you just throw the word out there. Now when we look at the word, what does it mean? And does it have its good points, and what are its bad points? You all seem to think virtue is just fine. I don't.
But I think we're lumping a lot of things under the term virtual.
Yeah, I need to understand what exactly is the part that you consider virtual, because there are tools.
I don't know. I asked her what is. I just asked her the question. What do you mean virtual?
Right. Okay.
Because there's a lot of tools that you could put up online and stuff, but that's not virtual. That's just tools that they can access.
Right.
Okay.
And I think the big thing is, number one, are you interacting one-on-one with a person through a computer?
No.
Or are you interacting with just the database? I think that's
right.
That's
are you
a
just
big
blogging
distinction
something?
Right there.
Are you posting documents?
Yes. Is there a person is there a real person at the other end or not? I think that's the first big distinction if you're going to talk about making an offering to people.
Okay.
So number one, there's going to be times when they will be interacting with another person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be times where they have the option to interact with the database.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you would term both of those virtual. Just to me, virtual is like a video game where you're setting up something that appears to be something else. So to me, if you're talking about a virtual center, somebody would, like a video game, walk into a center, they would meet a person, they would talk to this person, they would go into a room and have a conference. I mean, to me, a virtual is trying to recreate something that already exists.
But it's all make-believe.
Yes. I'm just clarifying what I visualize.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, that's what I visualize when you
Even
say virtual.
Even Skype is make-believe in both directions. I'll make believe I'm talking to a person if you make believe you're listening to a person.
Yes.
Hmm.
But there, you know, we're talking about, in all of this conversation, we're talking about the quality of an interaction. The highest quality interaction is face to face within a certain distance in the same room. And then, you know, from there, it degrades. If you were out in the carport and I was yelling with you, yes, we would still be kind of present, but the quality of our interaction would degrade the further away you get. So we're just talking about the qualities, I think.
I'm asking, what did she mean by virtual? And what do we mean? Keep saying it like as if virtual solves all our problems.
No, we have to
do is to get this information and put it up on the goddamn internet and everything will happen.
guarantee you it won't.
Anybody's saying well, that, though.
No.
Yeah, in that sense, you know, why do you write?
Well, it is obviously not working.
You didn't answer the question.
Yeah,
I work. I write because I want to.
He writes for himself.
Yeah. I write for me, not for you. You aren't going to understand it anyway.
Yet, we feel your passion? Is that fair to say?
No, you don't.
Then, how do I say it? What place
you,
do we
you
have
feel
in all
your,
this?
You assume yours. You in say you feel mine, you're just, that's always an assumption, and you're just right. Feeling yourself.
But there's that interaction still, because we are somehow interacting with you as you're writing, right?
No, you're not.
At all. There's nothing, you just do this, and then we just...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's a very important point.
I'm not interacting with you when I'm writing. I'm interacting with me.
Right. I can see that. I can see that. But what happens when I read your writing?
You interact with you.
I interact with you, with me using your writing as a tool.
No.
You're understanding it through you.
No matter what I say, you still only know you. And
right.
You only interact with you.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what I say.
Because the meaning of every one of those words is relative to you.
Sure. My dictionary.
Right.
My personal dictionary. Yet there's still some sort of a something. We're all here because you're writing this stuff and you talk about this stuff. And so why is it that we are deciding to even hang out with you? There's some reason because we keep doing it for years and years.
I fill you up every Monday.
To me, the only connection that I see is personally, if you talk about the entire universe being memory, correct? And you can access that memory, okay? If she accesses the same memory, do you then have a connection?
Not necessarily.
But is it possible that you might have a connection?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's the only way.
But you see the problems with language here, what we're doing?
Well, I understand. That's all we got.
No. It's not all we got.
Well... That's an extreme interest.
If I say something, it's important for me to feel your resistance.
What?
I'm sorry?
If I say something, it's just as important for me to feel your resistance.
Of course.
And I can't do that over Skype.
You can't do that.
Or over any video.
I get that.
Yeah. Now, as I say, the quality is definitely diminished.
No. I don't feel your resistance.
I'm saying the quality of the interaction is diminished. You only have...
Seriously?
Yes. And I agree.
And more so with me. Maybe I'm too interaction dependent.
But isn't that what it's all about? The interaction of the personal and the eternal? I don't think you can be too interactive. I think that's the name of the game. Motion, interaction. That's what it's all about. The hokey pokey.
But I've watched you, Angela, on that video, the gal interviewing you. It was better than normal, seriously better than normal. But the interaction was really gone.
That's about as far as I would go.
Because you were
the
there.
The interaction with her?
Huh?
Was it the interaction with her that was gone, or the interaction with the person watching the video?
With the person watching the video.
Ah, yes, I hear what you're saying. Okay, that's fair. But still, people were, because she and I were interacting, They got something from
so
that.
So I didn't say that you didn't get something from it. But they only got what they wanted to get from it. Because they are observers.
And they're free to interpret any way they want to. And you can't see if they're going off in a tangent or anything else.
Right. Yeah. It's limited, I agree.
What did I
have? It has a limitation.
I know that. What did I have?
But it's still the sense of the interactability of life. And I don't think you can interact too much, Roger. I think that's partly why we love you. Because you're so interactive. I mean, that's part of you that's so alive. You're always so alive. You're always present. I'm sorry I used that word. You're always interactive. It really is a great word. Unique to you.
Well, anyway, I just wondered what she meant by that.
No, that
she
was a
said
good topic.
Virtual or physical. She even
he
separated them out.
Me.
Virtual or physical.
I have a question.
I prefer physical.
We're trying not to use that word virtual because it's lumping. Mm-hmm. It's lumping.
But that's where it started, and he's coming back to that.
I know, but we've kind of moved past that.
Roger, didn't you used to refer to eternal being, eternal self, as a virtual self?
No.
A long time ago?
No.
No? No. I think you did because I used to quote you a lot in my book. You said it had a virtual nature, so you made it real.
No. Everybody else uses virtual that way. I don't.
Okay.
Virtual to me is a game.
A game?
So.
It never gets past being a game. But anyway, how could you ever say virtual or physical? That's what I was questioning. Why is virtual not physical?
Everything is physical.
Okay.
Right. Everything is physical, yes.
No. I'm reading the definition of virtual. Not physically existing as such, but made by software to appear to do so. And then
that's like the virtual reality.
I use virtual to mean it's something that you can't enter.
You can't enter.
It's virtual to me, but you can't enter it. You can't be part of it.
So that's really okay. I keep hearing there's like this separation. This with this whole virtual thing. You can't have the rapport as you could with somebody by seeing what their reactions are and being more present with them. So it's a disconnection thing. It's a seemingly fragmented, yeah. The other definition is being very close to being something without actually being it. Virtual. Interesting. And how so... Now, okay, this might be out. You started off the whole night with... talking about how the past not exist, the prior past and this and that. So to me that almost sounded virtual, some of the past stuff, what you were talking about at the very beginning.
What the hell do you mean? See, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. You were talking about like programming the past, but how the past doesn't exist.
All right, so all I'm asking you right now is, when you keep using the damn word virtual, what do you mean?
Well, what I was meaning was to, kind of what that definition was saying about not really being physically present, but being more on there by software. Software might assume that I'm more physically present, but
Let's
there are time
that
gap delays.
You have an abiding self, the eternal self.
Okay.
Is that virtual or physical?
The abiding self?
Yeah.
It's physical that I it's, this is a tough one because it seems virtual, but it's physical, and I know it is physical because
when you say it seems virtual, what do you mean?
because it just seems like this kind of thought, feeling kind of thing that's like hard to
grasp onto. I can't get into your thought.
Right.
So virtual, the way you're using it is for you only.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only way I've ever used virtual.
Okay.
And I can't enter it.
So there's a semantic change. Virtual. I think there could be some under the definition that I'm kind of hearing and looking at, with virtual being not actually being there but having some sort of a presence, there could be some benefits to it with the tools being downloaded and what have you. But I can really see the disadvantage of virtual in that regard, because you're not having that human interaction, and I'm seeing how important that piece is. So virtual needs to change. I think the word's not right then, because there can be virtual aspects of providing tools for people on the computer, which would be out of a data bank.
That's all I'm asking.
What could be another word for...
Why do we keep using words that we haven't described, or we have no common idea about virtual?
So do you mean like putting like a document up on the computer for somebody to access, and that's what you mean by virtual?
Well, with what we're talking about now, I'm seeing that's definitely a way that happens. It's happening right now with the website, the Forever Living website.
The Dropbox.
True, Roger? Is that virtual, your website,
what?
Where Misty has all the recordings, and I go and I listen to the recordings? Am I accessing like a virtual tool bank, in a sense?
What?
Am I accessing a virtual tool bank when I go onto the Forever Living website?
I don't know. Is that the way you're using a virtual?
Well, I'm trying to play with this word and get more... I'm defining an action right now as I go. I'm looking at what you're talking about.
Many, many centuries ago, there was a wonderful place where I could go whenever I had questions, uncertainties, problems, struggles in life. This place was called Emergent Life Center. It was located somewhere, but reached out everywhere. It looked like a flower with many leaves. What the hell is Simone saying? Come on.
To me, that was a concept.
I know that, but what are you saying? They have to... What's the picture that they have, and is that picture the same as what you have?
The picture I had is that everybody is part of the center.
What does that mean?
We all discuss each Monday.
What?
We all discuss each Monday something, and in that we all build the center, I think.
Yeah, but each person, when you then start using a flower and a thing, each person from the get-go has their own view, and you don't know what that view is. So,
but I think in the center we have to agree to certain use of the words as we started.
Well, okay.
And that's the base of it.
That's all I ask. If she's going to use throw a word virtual at me, I merely ask, what does she mean? Because I have no idea. To me, virtual to me means like your picture here. You draw a picture, but I don't know what that picture is in your mind. We keep using language to not be associated, to keep at hand's length or mouth length.
Yeah, I agree to what you said before.
So I have a picture of a flower.
I never could do a massage virtually.
But I don't have a picture. I have a picture of a flower, but I don't have a picture of the center. I sort of have. But that picture that I have is what I have, not yours. I don't know what your picture is.
Yeah. In looking back, I think the flower came to mind because when we all work together, then the center is flowering.
But you see, I don't have any, even the faintest idea of all of that.
That's right. It's a one-way communication when I write it. Yeah.
It doesn't even communicate.
Yeah.
Because you didn't say any of that.
Yeah, and you may not agree with it.
But what you did is you used the flower as a substitute for saying all this stuff. It's like we use a word to substitute for what we really mean or thinking. Virtual means something to Denise, but I have no idea what it is.
So, do you see what the flower means to me a little?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I think when I think right now, I think the idea came out of one of your description of a building. A few weeks ago, you described a school where in the center are everybody together, and in my picture in the leaves.
But there are
the classes. Do you remember that picture?
Sure, I remember the picture, but you're not even in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but I think that was...
How do we get an image across? That's what I'm bringing across here.
Or trying to say.
How do we get an image across so that we all are thinking the same sort of thing? Either of the center or of your life. No matter what I write, that's my image. It has nothing to say anything about your image. What is your image of life? Anybody want to tell me? What does an abiding being mean? Even if I say an eternal abiding being, what the hell does that mean? And when I say you are an eternal abiding being, but you're not, now what?
Now you gotta explain what you just said. You can play the birthday card.
It means entirely you are an abiding being, but you're not. Means something very succinctly important to me, but doesn't mean any damn thing to you. Do you want to discuss this, Patrick?
I finally heard something that it was really, really clear. I didn't want to cut in on everybody there, but I was wondering what might be up with your phone there, because it's even Ken was hard to understand sometimes. This whole language thing reminds me that we're talking about here, and there's words floating around that we haven't explained and haven't described. But I was going to go back to what this exercise pointed out to me, and that's that. I set my subject as giving a past to the emergent care center, and I found out within six words that I had changed the subject twice, that it was supposed to be about Emergent Life Care Center, but actually the first three words were about a relationship with the center. And then I began going through the rest, and I, like Andrew, put quite a bit of effort into trying to get the past tense out of there.
I'm not complaining about the effort people put into it. Don't take my complaining. I'm just complaining about what our language does. We're relying on language, and we're relying on electronics. And I'm just saying.
Oh yeah. Oh, I understand. And that.
We seem to think.
I think we all misunderstood what you were initially asking for.
Maybe we have to have hands.
I was absolutely amazed when Andrew put seven pages out there. Holy crow, that's a lot of detail. And that's a lot of effort. But I haven't gone through Andrew's with the same kind of detail as I did on my own after I realized how I had shifted around, changed the subject in the same paragraph two or three times. And that's normal writing for me. Yeah. And, you know, no wonder at times it's hard to get some communication across when people misunderstand. And as you guys were talking about earlier, Roger, you were saying that
but if we're doing
you
that
write for
Skype,
yourself.
I don't interrupt you.
Whoever reads your writing will take from it what they want to take from it. And that if I'm interested in communicating something, then it becomes incumbent on me to take the care to write very clearly. And this has really been an eye opener for me, that I haven't been all that clear of a writer, and I want to spend more time being careful about how I write and quit changing subject three times in a sentence. So this is, as much as anything, Roger, this has been a really fascinating exercise.
Yeah, my question is, in all of this, though, doesn't it...
Yeah, all of it.
Doesn't it begin with, what is your image of life? Or what is your image of yourself? I've asked this question at the beginning of every gathering. Never gotten any answers or any decent responses. What is your image of life? What is your image of your role in life? If the people in the center don't have a commonality about that, we're screwed from the get-go.
Yeah. And that I've seeing how hard it was to try to stay in past tense talking about the Emergent Life Care Center, I thought, okay, you know, I've never sat down and given myself a past. And boy, was that hard. That was really, really, really hard.
That's right.
To get myself even going.
To give yourself any kind of past other than the memories you have.
Yeah, some past other than I was born in Brandon, Manitoba, and I grew up in a Ukrainian church. Yeah, mm-hmm. Way more than that. And it turned out to be a very interesting exercise in itself as well. And I think it begins to point more to what I actually want out of life right now, based on what I wrote about what I said the past I gave myself. I think this writing exercise like this, and as you, I absolutely agree, Roger, every gathering and darn near every telephone call, you manage to get one of us or ask one of us, what is it you want? What is it you want out of life?
But then it bases on what is your image of life?
Yeah.
We don't have any agreement at all. Everybody has a different view of that. And there's everything after that is all pure guesswork.
Well, what wouldn't we have? Okay, let me stop us for a sec here. If we asked every one of the folks that are on the line right now, what do you want out of life, or what is life about?
I'm just asking you, what is your image of life?
Yeah, what's your image? Then You're not suggesting that it would be useful if we ended up all had the same image?
Well, and I don't know. It depends what that image is. When you all talk about a mission statement, should we all have the same image?
No.
Well then, what are we talking about here? If you say, do we all have to have the same view, same image, then aren't you saying when we create a mission statement, you're trying to give everybody the same image?
Yep, that's what a mission statement does.
That's right.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Is that what we want to do?
No, absolutely not.
What do you want to do?
I want to tailor my life, create my life precisely and completely as I want it to be.
But you can't tailor it to be in the future what you want it to be. You don't know how to do that. The only thing you can tailor
is... No, all I can do, you're right, Roger.
What your past was.
All I can do is live that. Isn't that something? I even threw that in there. I can only live right now as I desire.
Well, right now, whether you like it or not, is past. So you can only live a past.
Can I only live the past?
Yes.
Yes. I asked that myself to see what I thought. Yeah.
So why can't you just give yourself a past you want to live?
I hate it when you state the obvious. It's so simple, and I've kept on missing it.
Well, what you're doing is you're struggling to somehow or other create a future that you want, but you don't even have a past to work with. At least you don't have a past you want to work with.
Can I take this just a little bit sideways, if I may? And it relating to what we've talked about in the past about having kind of objectives. I take on an assignment to create a tour for a client. I end up developing a plan that has time periods in it and deadlines and this and that. So I can have a plan or an objective, but it's not something then that I have. How do I use the right language that it then I am the plan and I am then simply live the plan? Is that the way you can have?
Well, where we are right now,
isn't that?
Years ago, I told you, you don't even really know what your clients want. And they don't either.
Right. Okay.
What they tell you they want
may not, the way of having a plan.
May not have anything to do with what they really want.
Well, let's presume that by some miracle I actually understand what they want. And I create a plan to work with them for them to achieve what it is that they want.
Maybe you did them all a harm.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Roger.
I said maybe in doing that you harmed them. Just because they say this is what they want, and you may create a plan for them to get what they want, who says that what they say they want is what they want?
Well, that's absolutely critical, and I would ask you then that when you created and designed and supervised the construction of that big pleasure park or amusement park that you did in
Alaska. I designed it for me. And then afterwards, everybody could use it however they wanted to use it.
So is the essential thing for me to notice here that if I'm putting together a plan for my clients, I am, in fact, putting a plan together for me.
Well, no, it's I did it that way. You asked me what I did.
Okay, and I'm just trying to find...
I planned the park for me.
Is there a way for any of us, never mind me, to know what it is that someone we're providing a service to or for, we actually know what they want?
Well, not necessarily.
You know, Karen has clients. Half the people in the room with you or more have clients, and they come and ask for services. Are these folks doing harm to those folks by giving them what they say what they want?
Yes.
I figured that's where it would go.
I hope I'm not losing clients.
You think
now.
I would not go there?
Well, no, I kind of figured you would.
So then, what do we do about that?
Is part of our work helping discover what they want, or helping
what?
Is part of our work helping them discover what they want?
Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe by helping them discover what they want, I've led them down the wrong pathway.
So you guys are confusing what they want versus what they truly desire.
That's right. I never use the word want very much.
Want is more loner body stuff. And what you truly desire is abiding.
Sometimes you gotta dig for that. Even though it oozes out everywhere, right?
Sometimes you have to dig for it. I don't disagree. But if you just give them what they think they want, then haven't you limited them? Haven't you not expanded the possibilities in their lives? Haven't you made it so that they settle?
Yeah.
If I could tell you some examples of people I've designed houses for and talking about what they want and what happened. One guy within a day and a half shot himself. Another guy within several weeks crashed his airplane with his nurse on board, flying from Alaska back to the lower 48.
In leaving his wife.
And leaving his wife and kids. Designing a house for somebody is really getting down to the nitty gritty of what's going on. Fact is, I probably don't have two or three house clients that are still married. Putting up with me broken up. you just come to the understand that what I'm doing is not what I want. Or not what I truly desire.
You mean what you were doing was not what you truly desired?
No, what we talked about. When we get that close and intimate with somebody in that way, they find out that what they're doing.
Oh.
So many people have problems in their marriage and they think, well, gee, if I had a different house, everything would be all right.
Well, I stopped doing
it. And it's really not true.
You can handle it anymore.
So it all boils down to houses.
Houses.
Space.
Non-virtual.
Configuring your space of reality.
Well, anyway, I don't know how we got off onto this subject. I asked you what you meant by virtual, and here we are.
Oh, well, we've gone through a lot of topics since then.
Virtual a couple times over. Yeah.
Well, one thing came to mind, Patrick, with a particular client of mine that I'm dealing with right now. And the conversation goes, okay, here's what I, from him, he tells me what he thinks he wants.
That's what I said a long time ago. I never give a client what they want.
Yeah. Well, he tells me what he thinks he wants, and then I say, well, this is what I can do, or this is what I'm willing to do. And he may or may not accept that, because it may not fit the image of what he thinks he wants, but that's what I can do in regards to what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go from there. I'm also, you know, I'm also willing to walk away too, because if it's like if we want to play together, then I want to I want to play the way I want to play, and if that works for you, great. If not, then I'll go play somewhere else, and you can find somebody else to play with too. But it's a little bit different than trying to give him what he wants. I'm listening to what he says he wants, and I'm taking that in and processing that for me and saying, okay, well, this is how I can play. So anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on to you.
And in the broader sense, of eternal sense, does that process get us any closer to giving your client what he's really after when he's asking for X, Y, or Z?
Well, I can only trust that what I'm offering him relates to that. And if he really wants to go there, then we'll go there together. But if he doesn't, then that's okay too.
So in the context then of Roger suggesting that most all of us don't really understand what our clients want.
We don't even understand what we want.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm suggesting that as a foundational problem in terms of the center.
Yeah. Well, with all relationships, especially ones that involve...
But if we're going to write a mission statement, it certainly goes to hell right away.
Boy, get around and around it back. That if we can't get to a basic understanding of how to actually deeply assist the people that we're working with, we're just running through a lot of loner body stuff to earn some coin to pay the bills.
What does loner body stuff mean?
It means do this to try to achieve that and get something in the future.
Yeah,
and
but why did you use loner body stuff?
Why did I use it? I assumed that the listeners would know what I was talking about. That's a born and die existence rather than...
Do you see how we use a word to substitute for what we're really thinking about? So we don't have to tell anybody what we're thinking about?
Yep. That's the end of it. I like those shortcuts. That's right. I use loner body exactly that way, so I didn't have to spend time...
But wait a minute. I don't understand. I just went through this with you yesterday, Roger. If I give you a description of my car, you know, four-door green SUV, I'm assuming you know what SUV is. I'm not trying to hide what I'm saying. What's wrong with what Pat said in this group?
Because I didn't know what he meant by loner body stuff. So I asked him, what do you mean by loner body stuff? And he tells me in a paragraph what he meant by loner body stuff. And all I said was you used loner body stuff as a word, so you didn't have to say all the long stuff. But how do I know that?
It's a bit of a problem in communication all around, I think.
Well?
I mean, we're either expedient or we're ineffective.
Isn't that part of the center is all about, a communication?
Of course.
Well, then, what's the difference between physical and virtual?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the user of that word to tell me for sure. And it certainly gets more challenging when we start using words that we think we know what we're talking about, like.
But even if you use words that you think you know you're talking about, if we don't have a commonality as to what you think life is, the words, no matter what it is, are not going to be the same.
And that's a really interesting point. I agree, yeah. That's just profoundly huge.
Well, the question is, why does it have to be?
Because it is. Because no matter how I use the words, any set of words I use are based on my image of what life is all about and what my image of myself in life is all about.
I understand, but given there, what I'm hearing you say is that there's no way through words that we could understand.
Technically, no.
Right, and I'm saying, is that put an end to everything? How much can you accomplish something given that predicament?
Are you trying to understand him or are you trying to understand yourself?
Both.
Really?
Sure.
And I say ultimately the only thing that you are trying to understand is self.
True, but I'm also interested in working with a group of people for some
right, but
some
through
common
them to understand you, through them to get the light you truly desire.
Well, I think that's a given.
Not for everybody.
My question was, you know, the protocol that they use for the internet is called TCP/IP.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was designed. It's a best effort delivery system. It's a best effort delivery system. It means that it does not work all the time. It doesn't work right all the time. But even though it doesn't work all the time, it's changed the entire world. So what I'm saying is, given the dilemma that we have, is it a deal breaker? Can we still create something wonderful?
Then what delivery system do we want to use? What is our delivery system?
I'll think about that. Good question.
There's one right there that's...
Isn't that what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. When you say mission statement, what is our delivery system? What do you want the center to deliver?
Put those two questions.
That's two questions.
What are we delivering and how are we delivering it?
Deliver what and yes. How, yeah.
Can't use the play on words deliver, can we?
No, I'm
take your
dealing
liver
with
what?
Kidneys, not
liver. Living or something, but she's already taken her liver out.
Well, I mean, I think that what I want to deliver is a very real and lasting sense of my eternal self.
To both of you.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm just right now. It's just all I meant in those words. Good question. Is just myself.
Well, I mean,
I didn't think beyond that yet.
Oh, I'm just making the jump that if we have a center, you have another person with you.
Yeah.
And so I just extrapolated from that you would be doing it for both of you.
You mean one person does not a center make?
Well,
sure.
Yes, they do. Coming to see you. There's many centers within one center, apparently, if we need multiple missions.
Well, don't everybody
question,
jump
Ken,
in there.
Are you actually doing it for anybody else?
We went through that 2 weeks ago with Jennifer's dream.
Yeah. And is that okay with everybody?
Is what okay?
That you're really not actually doing it for the other person.
No.
actually, given what I understand what that means, I think that's somewhat freeing.
It's like you can't focus on yourself. You focus on the other person, but yet you're not doing it for the other person. You're doing it for yourself. It gets kind of interesting there.
Well, you know, I discussed this with Roger yesterday, and something that I didn't get out of two Monday nights ago, which was kind of interesting, was if you're doing it for yourself, you're going to do the best job for yourself, you know, that you would possibly want to do. If you're doing it for somebody else, they might be a bother or a hassle or a who knows what. You might not give it your best.
Yeah, true.
But I thought that was where we have problems with it being too incestuous because of the self-focus. It's like, it gets tricky with
but
the
in
self-focus.
This case, Denise, if you're like doing, I'm just the acupuncture, if you're working with somebody at this imagination center, but you're working with somebody for you because that's the way you want to express yourself in your life, if that's part of your eternal doing, your eternal way, then wouldn't you want to just do your absolute best at that?
Absolutely.
Bar none.
Yeah.
And with another person, may be a little easy to walk away.
I guess what it boils down to, would you rather give somebody a future or a past?
That's what it boils down to. That's a good point, and then if that's the thing it's about, yeah, sure, I'd rather
you
give
you
a...
See, you always only talk about the future. Like last week, you could only talk into the present future tense.
I'll tell you why. To a certain extent, I think people feel that, okay, the past, you know, who cares? I'm concerned about a future. That's where the meaning in life seems to be focused for most people.
But if I give you a future and you don't have a past, you're screwed. But if I tell you you are already an eternal being, I've given you a past, and I've given you a future to continue that eternal beingness.
Everybody's going
out
for a
future
because
I was looking at forward.
They aren't happy with where they are presently, and they think
that's a great point.
They could have something better in the future, but if you give them a past that they truly desire,
just keep that past.
It just becomes something so much more than
live that in the present and continue that into the future.
Oh, Misty, that's pretty brilliantly said. I just had a revelation. Thank you.
Well, tell us, all the rest of us, your revelation.
From what Misty was saying, right. So people sit there, they want a future because they're not happy with their present. They think it'll be better in some future, perhaps. So give them a past that they truly desire. That solves the problem of the present because they're already. If it's a past they truly desire, their present is what they desire. And the future is a non-issue.
Well, you see how important that is?
Do we get to say,
yay? I mean, that's what I say. That's a major revelation. What's she laughing about?
I said, now I get to say, yay.
She has a big smile on her face.
I mean, that's a pretty, I think, amazing premise right there for the imagination center. If you could even just get that across to somebody, or just get them considering that in their life, that might change a lot.
But then that means that everything we present should be presented in that way.
I agree, but make sure you present that, by the way. Don't skip it.
In what way? In giving them a past.
Giving them a past.
So that's the delivery, that's the what.
But even a past that they truly desire, not just any crappy past. They got a crappy past. God created them. Don't give them more. I think religion only served up more of a crappy past, you know? Or maybe it ruined the great past that they had.
Well, then. Could you give this?
There's an interesting one, Roger.
What?
Maybe long, long time ago, people had a great past until religion.
Now we have a fearful future.
You see? even that, how important that is relative to the center. Give the center a pass. See where this is all coming from?
Yep.
And living today is living your past, giving yourself the past you want.
So maybe we all wrote a statement for ourselves, not for the center.
Well, okay, that's fine. I don't disagree with that. I just looking at what you wrote and say, what do you mean by that? What are you communicating? In other words, you wrote it down here, Simone, like a dream. So are we supposed to interpret this like a dream? Is this a dream?
I don't know. But this thought came to mind too, that when I wrote it, that it is like a dream. It for sure it wasn't a night dream, but maybe it was a daydream. I wasn't clear on that. But we can interpret it as a dream. Nothing against that.
You said a minute ago, give the center a pass to work with. So, do you consider the center its own entity, its own being?
Is what?
Its own entity. Is the Life Care Center its own entity?
Couldn't it be?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Roger, got a question then. If we're giving the center an actual past, don't we want some story and detail behind that?
But you don't have to have
7 pages
details of its present action.
Details of its past. Yeah.
But when you switch into the details, you're essentially saying these are its details.
Well, I'm not sure. Personally, in mine, I don't think that's what I said. I was saying this is what it was.
But you didn't keep it as it was.
Understood. I want to definitely go back and relook at that.
But how do we deal with this? Can we talk about these things as it was that is?
Oh, that's interesting.
It's okay.
Hell, we've been an hour and a half here and we haven't even agreed on anything.
Does this Life Care Center have an abiding self?
What?
Does the Life Care Center, this entity, have an abiding self? Of sorts.
You tell me.
I believe that. Believe that when the group intention comes together that something forms. I do.
I don't think it does. I think you give it a self if you want to.
I think the...
And in that way, it kind of goes back to what Roger was saying earlier. We stand the risk of everybody giving it their own self, or maybe that is the desirable thing. I'm not sure which.
Heading right back to virtual again. I just can't get out of virtual tonight.
No, I'm just saying everybody comes with their own concept of themselves and their past and their image of life.
Right.
They'll put that into the center.
No. I hear what you're saying. I just, my own processing is bringing me back into virtual because it's like, you know, does the Life Care Center have a life of its own? In a sense, because of the collective actioning that we're doing, and if so, how do you work with that? How do you? I don't know.
By the way, Ms. M took the word care out of this thing.
Oh.
Because it implies a focused doing.
Okay.
And so it's now just emergent life. The center of emergent life.
Okay.
Emergent life center.
Or emergent life center. You can use it either way.
Okay.
So is there something that everybody is doing while they're doing it their own way?
Yes. But is there something commonality?
Yeah. Everybody is doing it their own way. So what is it?
Self.
Was that a word or just an exclamation?
Or is that a...
Got to go to the bathroom.
Burp.
I think Patrick said it earlier. I'm trying to recall the words he used.
Yeah, I wish I could too.
Well, I'm paraphrasing here in that when we were talking about everybody is doing it, we were talking about clients and you're doing it for yourself. And so we're always doing it for ourselves.
Whatever it is.
We're doing it for ourselves, and the reason we interact with other people is, I guess,
so we have
in the hope, pardon?
Different ways of seeing ourselves and expressing.
Yeah. And I think the center is getting people to understand what we're sitting there doing with them.
You what?
I would like that person that I'm interacting with to understand what it is that I'm doing.
None of my damn business.
Yeah.
Well.
I was going to say, what you're doing is helping them figure out what they're doing. And in helping them figure out what they're doing, you're figuring out what you're doing.
Correct. I would like them to understand that.
That's just a given.
You think so? You mean just by the interaction they would get that?
I think that is not a detail.
Maybe yes, maybe no. But as Roger says, it's none of our goddamn business.
It's not a detail that we need to go into.
Okay.
At least in my opinion.
What do you get out of our interaction?
I understand why you brought it up,
Ken.
But there is something here that maybe this is fine-tuning it or unnecessary, but I do know that I ask questions, and maybe this goes back to what Roger was concerned about with virtual interaction, that when I'm speaking about forever living with friends and acquaintances, I'm looking very much to see what their reactions are, and I sometimes will ask a question to see whether or not they even understood the words I used. And what they do with it ultimately is their business, but I can endeavor to see, at least doing communication checks, to see whether or not they're actually understanding the words I'm using, whether they put them together in a way that I would be happy about. That's another thing altogether.
I'm trying to suggest that seeing isn't everything.
What was that?
That seeing isn't everything. You can't see whether I'm understanding it.
Yep, to feel it, to sense it, to hear it.
But virtual, then you lose all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can only sense what you see virtually or hear. You're left with two senses only. And neither of them are very reliable.
But still getting back to what you're saying, Pat, is that what you're trying to do is the best you that you can do. and you put out feelers to find out for yourself whether you're doing the best you that you can do.
Yeah, whether I'm communicating as effectively as I know how, yeah.
Yeah, but somebody else's opinion as to whether I'm doing the best you, it really doesn't, best me is, doesn't
no,
really
you're
matter.
You're not asking them their opinion about you. That's not involved at all.
Yeah.
It's just like when I worked on patients, they didn't give a damn what I got out of the situation. They only cared whether they got the best me that I could do on them.
That's right.
And I don't think that it'll be any different in any center that we have. They're just looking for what, and it's true of most people. What do I get out of it?
What's in it for me?
Right. That's the way people operate. They don't care if you're going to get something out of it. They want to know that they are. But you have to be okay with the idea that everything that you're doing, you are absolutely in that moment getting everything out of it that you could possibly get if you're doing who you truly are and what you truly desire to do.
And do they, is it important that they understand that they can do that too?
Well, that's part of the something that you would share with them, yes. Sure.
Yeah.
That's
so that's what I was saying earlier. Isn't
that part of the whole learning process?
But isn't that the point? Isn't that it?
Well, the best that I can see that would come out of something is that you get them to do the best them, and then they go out and try to get somebody else to do the best them, and they try to go out and get them to do the best them, so on
right.
and so forth.
So isn't that the it that we're talking about?
I think that could be the it that we're talking about.
Closest thing I've heard
tonight.
Could
you repeat that, Misty? I didn't know what that it was.
That it is getting each person to do the best them that they could possibly do, and show others to doing the best them that they could do so that they can go show somebody else how to do the best them that they can do, that they truly desire.
But isn't that them then a past?
Well, you can't do anything but the past.
But yeah, but they don't know that, so that's a good point to bring it in. I'm just saying the average person is still future-oriented. I can attest to that.
It just seems to me that when we start talking about mission statements and the way the conversation was going last week, we're leaving this and trying to do something, force something.
Well, certainly this way of thinking is going to take just a little bit of practice, but I think it makes a lot of sense.
Well, where are we? We ready to quit?
Where would you like us to be?
Right here in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Within feeling distance.
Yeah.
Within reach.
So what should we think about and put together for next week?
Define it.
We still haven't answered that how question.
What do you truly desire?
Boy, we've been asking that for the last 20 years. I've yet to get an answer to that one.
What I'm getting out of tonight is how much of life I'm living virtually. I mean, not just with computers and software, but even the languaging, you know, and not engaging with people fully it's virtual living. A lot of life can be virtual even when you're right in front of people. It's kind of interesting.
Understanding all these problems, do you realize why I switched the focus before from what do you want to what is it like being you? Can you tell me what it was like being you? And can you understand that you don't continue into the future eternally, but what it is like being you continues? we talk about memory, or memories, either one. What it is like being you, it continues in memory. You don't continue in memory, but what it is like being you. Give yourself a pass and we begin to know what it's like being you, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me a future and I have no idea what it's like being you. So if you give me a pass to the center, I know what the center is like, but you give me a future and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like the politicians nowadays, you know, they say, well, we're going to have this or that, but they have no way of telling us how on earth they're going to get to that.
Right. Well, I think next week it'd be kind of cool to, like, maybe bring out something from this Imagination Center book and try it, an exercise, an activity, give us a taste of it. What do you say?
I say that the printer's down right now, and I have no idea if I'm going to be able to pull things together for next week.
Printer? Oh, I was just thinking of a virtual page over the box.
No, what I'm talking about is he would have to get a copy of whatever it is we're talking about, edit it, get it back to me. I would have to fix it. He would have to edit it again, and then I might be able to get it out to you virtually.
Gotcha.
Without the printer in that process, it doesn't happen.
That's a great description, Misty. Thank you.
I'd like to suggest that we have danced around the notion of having a concept or enunciating a concept for the Emergent Life Center.
It.
How about we take a shot at the basic concept?
Yeah.
All this other stuff is how you get there, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's what.
I was taking some notes tonight when I was hearing Roger, so I wrote some more stuff on the PowerPoint, but I'm trying to, like, try to organize it, if I'm even putting them in the right categories, a little disclaimer there. but what I was hearing for potential concept and sippets of the Life Care Center is, one, a place to assist others to find and live their own mission. I heard that earlier in the night. And then I heard everybody has their own mission. That's going to include the people that are actually, you know, working there, you know, or running the place, and the people coming in. And then I heard give others a pass that they truly desire, keep that pass, live it into the future. And then I heard, why do we want the center, what do we want the center to deliver? And you said that was a really important question, so I put that in the concept category. And then I heard give the center a pass to work with without details of its present action. And then I heard the Emergent Life Care Center, that it can function as its own entity. And then the last part was show others how to be the best them they can be. So these are just different things I kind of put together. But I, you know, this whole PowerPoint thing I feel is just like a living document. Like, anybody can do whatever, fix, change, however. I don't care. I'm just trying to organize information. But what do you guys think? Does that sound like conceptual things around?
Well, it seemed like last week we had already talked about it. You come kind of close by saying a gateway to the eternal abiding self.
Okay.
You had said that in your draft one. I know that may not be exactly it, but that was as close as we got.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, man, I missed last week.
So did you all decide on something?
We
I had to go to the virtual bathroom.
I hope it wasn't too virtual.
Me too.
So gateway to the abiding. I like that, Andrew. But thank you for that.
Then do we all have to define what that is?
Okay, well, there we are. Wherever we are.
And at 8 o'clock.
Exactly. 8 o'clock.
Ta-da.
Did you decide anything while I was gone?
Denise summarized the evening.
thing that I would say, Denise, is I don't think that he's going to like the word mission.
Yeah. What? And I was just taking that as part of the conversation earlier.
I'm just saying
Okay.
Have to think of another way of saying that.
Yeah, well, it would be basically,
instead of saying mission statement, give us a past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has their own particular...
It's a history statement. It's a...
Mission always puts it out in the future.
Okay. Yeah, mission is something you're gonna do.
We're on a mission.
Okay, so everybody has their own...
What would be more correct to say?
Well, purpose doesn't quite do it.
No, that's still... Like, everybody has a past, is the important thing.
Has their own...
Has a desirable past.
Okay. So everyone has their own desirable past.
Well, the question is... If you can't... give the center a mission statement, why do you always live only your own mission statement? I suggest that you give the center a past. Why can't you give yourself a past? I'm into the same situation. Maybe that's what you do. Everybody put it in the thing. Tell me what past it is that you truly desire. Give yourself a past. Think about it. Give yourself a past you truly desire.
Only one?
Huh?
Only one?
No, you give me a dozen.
It'll be a bunch long of night them. That night, Ken.
You give me a dozen, and I'll put them all together and string them out and give you one long past. The dozen is only the glimpses of one. So there you are for next week, everybody. Give yourself a past you truly desire.
Okay.